Cookie Head Jenkins, take one.
Mr. Clyde, how's it going?
How you doing, brother?
I'm just walking around the flea market, just contemplating whether I want to buy some XT wheels. I'm like, what am I going to use these damn things for? I'm actually sitting here thinking about, like, am I really going to ride these, go fucking look for a trail and skate on a fucking trail? Like, what am I doing? I just like making myself laugh. So that's the first thing I'm doing. But other than that, I was just waiting for your call, man. How's everything? How's life?
Everything's great, man. It's all right.
I'll think about it.
I'm sorry?
No, I was telling the guy I'll think about it.
Everything's been good, man. It could be a lot worse.
Things could be worse.
Yeah, it could always be worse, man. I'm just down in Florida right now. I'm hanging out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm in Florida, man. I got down here. I got down to Florida about a month ago, and it's been great.
You know,
man.
That's my hometown, right? My home state.
Hold on. See, I was going to ask you that. Where are you from in Florida?
Orlando.
What?
Born at fucking Arnold Palmer Hospital, but now it's called Orange County. I mean, it's called Arnold Palmer now, but it was called Orange County when I was born in it.
What?
Yep.
Dude, Ron Allen is from Jacksonville.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. Whoa.
Shit, we might all be related, man. I swear to fucking...
I know, right? Selling gun handles here. Wow.
Man, the flea market's fucking... I love the flea market. It's one of my favorite places in the world.
I love
the flea market. They got good food.
Laser fucking scopes. Yes.
Yes.
That's a laser scope?
You could get, like, Chinese stars and shit like that. Like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't understand. I just bought a bulletproof vest for $1.
Dude. See, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know if I'm going to need it, but I was like, I'll take it.
Hey, exactly.
After what I saw yesterday, I was like, oh, I'll take that. We went on a little tour of fucking downtown LA.
Okay.
Because it was basically free transportation day yesterday. So any form of bus, train, anything was free.
What?
So fucking me and a couple of my neighbors. Yeah. Because it was Rosa Parks day. So me and a couple of my neighbors were like, oh, man, let's go on an adventure to downtown L.A. It's not going to cost us a dime. So we fucking get down there, and it was the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. I've been down there plenty. But, dude, it was like there was some lady dropped trowel, took a poop right in the bushes. These two brothers had a big crowd around. They were in a full-blown bare-knuckle fist fight. One dude was draped in gold. The other one didn't have shit, and they were going, every punch was connecting to the face. Then there was like a Chinese dragon festival, and then right after that, there was a Indian powwow. So I felt like I was on different planets yesterday. Yeah, man.
Man, people are losing their minds out here, man. Man, I went to Oakland last December, and I went out there for a skate thing with Super Skate Posse, and we flew in at nighttime, so I wasn't really. You know, I was like, oh, man, it's just Oakland, da-da-da. When them lights came on, when the sun came out, I was like, yo.
You ain't in Kansas anymore.
I was like, man, I swear to God, that shit looked like Repo Man. It was like, dude, I swear to God, it was like, there were so many homeless people. Like, people were sleeping on people's porches and shit. And like, it looked like third world of shit. And I didn't even, I didn't even realize, like, I was like, damn, like, the world looks like this? Like, I didn't know, you know, I didn't know the full scope of it until I actually saw it. In places like California, you don't think about it like that, you know what I mean? You think, oh, it's some homeless people, but you don't think, like, that shit is crazy, dude. Like, it's...
Mm-hmm. No, there's full, I started just calling them hermit crabs, because they got all their shit packed on them and around them, and then once they get too big for that, then they need another shell to put all their shit on. So I'm like, dude, there's mad hermit crabs everywhere. And it's like they took over whole, you know, like you said, sidewalks. It's like there's whole blocks that are just tents and tarps. And it's like, what the fuck is going on inside there? I almost want to walk in there, but it's like, nah, I don't really think I need to do that.
Yeah, you know. Hey, you can't save everybody, my man. You might
You might get jammed up.
That can be very dangerous. Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to be a victim. Yeah. But I want to say, first off, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on, man. This is a huge honor for me, man. I've been a big fan of you.
Oh, my pleasure.
I've been a big fan of you, man, since I was a kid, man. You have. It's crazy, yo. Like, it's like the show for me, it's dope because I get to do, like, you know, I get to work with, like, all the people that I looked up to. You know what I mean? And I get to talk to them and shit like that. So, to me, it's like, and it's a form of therapy. I quit drinking 3 years ago, and, you know, life's been kind of crazy. And skateboarding is the only thing that literally...
Yeah, no, good for you, man.
Like, skateboarding is the only thing that literally, like, is, like, my foundation. Everything else is, like, like the kitchen shit, whatever. But that's neither here nor there. So I just want to say thank you for coming on, man. This means the world to me, man. And I want to
It's a pleasure. Pleasure and an honor.
Man, I wanted to, you know, I just wanted to get with you and talk to you about, you know, obviously you're from Orlando. You didn't start skating in Orlando, did you?
No, I started out in Cali because we moved to Cali when I was, I think, 3.
Okay.
So, oh, shit. If this is a dollar... Hey, is this a dollar? $2. Oh, come on, man. Damn. I almost want to come out the park. Dude, it's Police Academy 4 with the fucking Bones Brigade in it.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. Damn, $2? Oh,
might be able to flip
$2.
It. Get Tony Hawk to sign it. You can flip it.
Fuck it. Exactly. Fuck it. I'm doing it. $2. Yeah. Yeah, just like that. I'm going to get McGill, Cab, and fucking Tony to sign this bitch, and then I'm going to do that.
It's gold. It's gold from that point. There you go, right there. There you go, right there. That's how you flip shit. Fuck flipping skateboards and shit. That's the shit you want to flip.
I got it.
It's WCRP.
Yeah, so no, thanks for that plan. That was a good one.
Yeah, no problem.
I like that.
But what were you saying? You moved out there when you were 3, right?
Yeah, 3 years old. My pops was in the military, and mom's was just a homemaker. So, yeah, we were out here, and pretty much that's where it all began. I think I had a kamikaze.
Oh, word. I remember that board, dude.
Yes, I had a kamikaze, and I had a Nash. And then I had a Logan Earth ski, but I didn't have trucks and wheels for it. I just had the deck. I didn't have the execution. That was the one with the dragon.
Man, that thing was so sweet, dude.
No, I just had the and I remember it had the 2-tone red and black wheels, and it was like the first nice board I had. And then me and my brother would fight over that shit. And then one day I went to the swap meet. That's funny. Another swap meet story. And I bought a fucking Alva.
What?
But I thought it said Awa. And I get to the skate park, and I'm like, I just got an Awa. And they started laughing. They're like, Alva. You have an Alva. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
So, yeah. So then one cat gives me a sticker that matched my board. So that was the first sticker I actually had on my helmet at the park, was the Alva sticker with the Alva board. So I felt like, you know, I was in the game then.
Damn.
But it was a fucking hockey helmet.
So when you got into skating, were you immediately drawn to the parks? Were you going to the parks like right offhand, or were you street skating? Or the reason I ask this is because, as we all know, skate parks are fucking expensive. And skateboarding is expensive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, so I'd always kind of, you know, I always saw you guys skating McGill's and like Linda Vista and all that shit. Like, you guys.
Well, by then we were sponsored.
Exactly.
By then we were sponsored, and we could just, and it was kind of like, hey, you know, put that shit on H Street or put that shit on Going. But in the beginning, it was us jumping off of old cars on our street skating curbs. And then my brother came in the house and said that he's pretty sure that he knows where a skate park is. And I was like, oh, for real? And we basically got in the car and drove to Del Mar. And I was like, the next day I got a membership. I was like, are you kidding me? Because you could see it right off the freeway. That's what was so good about it. He remembered. He had like a Boy Scout meeting somewhere up there, and he said, he just comes running in my room. He's like, Gary, you're not gonna believe this. I seen a whole bunch of skateboarders next to the freeway. I was like, what the fuck were they doing next to the freeway? He's like, no, it was like a place. It looked like it was made for him. I was like, oh, really? Do you remember where it was? He said, I remember exactly where it was. And I was like, Dad, did you hear that? I was like, can we go? And basically, he was like, you know, you sure you want to do this? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you said there was other skateboarders, and I'm a skateboarder. Like, I was claiming, because this was right after breaking faded out. So I went from being a breaker to a skater. I was like, I'm a skateboarder. I need to go there. I need to go there. In 85.
Man, everybody made that. I started in 86, but everyone, I started with BMX, too. But everyone.
Forget my BMX roots.
See, you know what I mean?
It's
weird, man. If you think about skaters now, it's like, they don't have a transition into skating. It's like, that's why they look weird skating and shit. You know what I mean? They're trying to find their style. I'm serious as shit, dude. Uh-huh. They look weird skating because they're trying to find their style and shit like that. And, you know, when you're riding mm-hmm. a bike, you're like, you're putting style to shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're doing
tabletops all day long. You're doing, lay them down.
Man, you're laying them shits down. Like, you're doing that shit looking smooth, you know? So you have an essence of style in your head when you start skating. You know what I'm saying? You're like, mm-hmm. all right, you know the dudes, you like what they look like and shit. I feel like if they don't have a transition into skating, they can't really define themselves for a couple years. They don't really know mm-hmm. who they are. I mean, I just seen right. one kid, Jagger Eaton. And I'm like,
yeah.
He's fucking awesome. Don't get me wrong, but it seemed like that dude found his style at like 22. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he just came out of skating, and he was skating all the parks and shit, right? And so mm-hmm. then he started street skating, and he couldn't really figure out his style for a long time. You know what I'm saying? Like, he couldn't. Like, now he's kind of, he looks a lot better now, you know, but it took him a while to figure out his style, and I see that a lot with the younger generation of guys.
Yeah, it's hard to describe, but yeah, he has an interesting style. It's like an acquired taste. When I first watched him ride, I was like,
let's see it.
Oh, okay. I forgot about this name. He was kind of, to me, he was a mix of Chad Barty and a couple other different dudes.
Oh, dude. Wow.
I was like, there's something about his legs. It's very Chad Barty, but then there's something else going on. So, yeah, that's a name that we haven't talked or probably mentioned in a while. But, yeah,
I was just watching him in a video.
As,
I was just watching Chad Barty in a video. Like, I think it was like Yeah, that dude's awesome, man. I like all them old videos like that. Them things mm-hmm. were cool. And what was cool about that era too? We'll get back to what was cool about that era is like there was room for everybody. You know what I mean? There wasn't like
there was.
You know what I'm saying? Like every, I mean, you could skate mini ramp, vert, street, like everything. There was room for everybody, and nobody was not cool. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It wasn't a bunch of hating ass dudes like, man, that ain't cool. That don't look good. It was like, man, everything looked
good. Yeah,
everything
looked good. We were just loving seeing other skateboarders because we were like America's most hated.
It's WCRP.
Tell you what, if I didn't see Stedham that first day at Del Mar, I would have never went back because the first thing that happened to me, when I walked through the gate to Del Mar was a little blonde haired, blue eyed kid came up to me and said, what are you doing here? And laughed at me.
Jesus Christ.
And I took a step back and I was like, well, shit, what am I doing here? And I looked around. I didn't see nobody that looked like me. Not a single fucking person. And I'm just like, man, all these guys, they got all the right gear. All their stuff is new. They got the good boards, this, that, and the other. And it's funny. It can be on the record or off the record, but the first person that did that and made fun of me was John Schultz's little brother, Derek.
Wow.
First person to come up to me and laugh at me. So I was just okay. And then Reese Simpson, he saw that happen, and he came over to me, and he's like, oh, man, don't worry about these guys. They're jerks, man. Like, he said, do you want to skate with me? And I said, nah, I'm kind of just like, this is my first time here ever, and I just kind of want to watch. And then maybe 10 minutes later, here comes motherfucking Dreadlock ass Steve Stedham over to the keyhole, lit it up, and Derek and all the other little blonde hair, blue eyes were surrounding the pool cheering for this dude. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to be this dude. I'm going to fucking be this dude, man. Like, there's nothing that's going to stop me from being this dude right here. And that's why I kept going back.
Man, that's so dope to hear, dude. And Stedham has done so much for us in skating. You know, it was like,
yes.
I mean, there was the Marty Grimes and you know, obviously Marty Grimes and DeSoto mm-hmm. and a couple guys before. And, you know, I really say a couple of guys. But what Stedham did was, you know, I think he really opened the door for skateboarding for a lot of brothers because he was unapologetically black. Like I wasn't really seeing dudes with dreadlocks back then, except for dudes on TV and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was, and he was just as good as everybody. That's the crazy part. You know, he was on the best. He was on the best team. He had the best selling board.
Exactly. He was on.
He was hitting all cylinders, dude. And so to see that from us, you know, it wasn't like. You know, it wasn't some dude you see in the back of the magazine robbing some little company or whatever. It was he was right there.
Yeah,
in our
face. Yeah, he was fucking bones with Gabe Powell Peralta, and that was a big fucking deal.
That was a
those dudes were a big deal. It's crazy, you know. And then I saw him in that 86 Del Mar contest, and he was riding his own stuff, you know, Stedham Designs, and I never really got the story from him on how, like, you know, what happened with the whole Powell Peralta thing. But then when I kind of, like, as I got older and, you know, hear more stories and talk to more people. It's like the fact that that he didn't get invited to that Bones Brigade vacation because Stacy said that, oh, you know, Steve's got to work, when he never even knew that they were all going on vacation to, like, Hawaii or Tahiti, somewhere exotic. So he didn't even get invited.
What?
So yeah, dude, I'm telling you, my goal before I walk away from this sport is to really try to get the inside, maybe even a sit down with Stacy and fucking Steve and have them two hash it out. Because I think he's owed an apology for that one.
Dude,
he ever got it.
Man, the fact that they wouldn't turn that dude pro, and then he went to the contest, and he was like, I'm fucking going. He's like, I'm skating pro. And Stacy Peralta was like looking at him like he was crazy. Then I think he got second, and he got second in that contest, right? Then after that, he was like, yeah, you know, you're right. I turn you pro. And it's like, what the fuck is that? What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like what the like he had to extra prove himself? Like, come on, man.
Yeah,
like, let's be serious. Let's be serious. Out of all them dudes, like, maybe Tony Hawk was the only one really up there like that. Mike McGill was up there, but he wasn't a threat. You know what I'm saying? Steve Stedham was a threat. Well, he was a fucking threat. He was a threat to skateboard. And so it makes me think, like, damn, like, why would he have to jump extra ropes to do the same shit everyone else did? He's already winning all the contests. And I actually had an interview with him, and he spoke about this. I forgot which contest it was. Maybe Upland? He said, I have to go back and listen, but it was a contest he was skating, and he was like, because it took a while for Steve to open up to me, man. He was kind of closed off for a while. And it was.
I see him all the time. When I go out to Vegas, I always stop by his store and hang out with him.
I just think it too was, man. You know, I was about to finish what I think it was too is we didn't really know each other. You know what I'm saying? I think he was probably just trying to feeling me out at first, but he was open to the interview. We talked for a couple of hours. He's a really nice guy. And then finally he started letting off. He was like, man, we started talking about contests, and he was like, shh. He was like, man, he's like, I never thought there was racism in skateboarding to this one contest. He's like, man, I clearly fucking won. And then he's like, out of everyone, Jay Adams was like, yo, that's fucked up. So yeah. I'm like, damn, dog, that dude had something to say.
Yeah, man. People had his back. It was just wild, man. I'll just never forget the influence that he had on me. And then it took me a long time to figure out I look at it like this. I think, in a nutshell, vertical skating is the derivative of surfing. Transition skating, derivative of surfing. They want to keep that sport theirs, no matter what.
Absolutely.
No matter what. We got baseball, we got basketball, we got football. Anything a brother gets into, they generally tend to take it over. But they can have street because, you know, they got that urban flow. They're out in the streets, and it kind of suits them. That's just how I've always felt.
Oh, wow. You know, and that's so funny we're talking about this right now because they have some actually, I don't even want to talk about that. Yeah, just skateboard hall. They have a Florida Hall of Fame thing. But I will say this about all of that kind of shit is a lot of that shit, man, it's a circle jerk for a lot of dudes. It's like, this is how I feel. I'll be dead fucking honest. We respect and appreciate them dudes. Them dudes don't respect and appreciate us back. We look fucking stupid begging for them dudes respect. They don't even care enough to know the name of our tricks. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not even talking street skaters. I'm talking just a lot. And that goes for, like, a lot of the vert guys. You know, like, you're a fucking early pioneer. You know what I'm saying? But like, that's how we look at it. Like, I look at it like, yo, this dude's a fucking vert pioneer. Like, this dude's been around for fucking ever. Like, he's been out here doing tricks, developing his own shit. Like, that's dope. Like, there's dudes who have done significantly less than you that are like walking up in Hall of Fame and all that kind of shit. And I'm like, hold on. What the?
It's WCRP.
This dude, what? This dude jumped a couple barrels, won like one or two contests. Like, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's cool. Like, but they're going to keep that to themselves, as you're saying. Mm-hmm. They're going to keep that culture to themselves. So it's in our best interest to move the fuck on and do our own thing. I'm not even joking. And it's not even for black people. This is for skateboarders, period. Because if we don't get out of that, we're going to be forever begging them dudes for acceptance and all that shit. You know what I mean?
I absolutely feel you, man. It is an inside boys club where if you ain't in from that era, you might as well just fucking, you're trying to paddle a fucking canoe upstream against a fucking tidal wave.
Yep. And that's great. That's great they got their thing. That's awesome. That's awesome they got their thing. That's great. They want to congratulate all their people. So that's fucking great. Awesome. Great. Mm-hmm. Cool. Let's do our own shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, get it? Why not? Like, what makes theirs more legit than if we did one? You know what I'm saying? If, like, everyone got together and did their own and we started showing appreciation to our people. You know what I mean? There's no difference. Sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. Like, no one's, their shit isn't set in stone.
That's another thing. If you tell it like it is, oh, you're out. You're fucking out. Oh, he's this, he's that. Oh, you know, you got to stay cool. You got to be cool. It's like, huh? What?
Nah, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to always say what I feel because I think that's important, man. We need to quit laying down. It's like, for real, man, how many times can we get slapped in the face and told and be told to turn the other cheek? Come on, man. Like, it's going to get old. We're going to be old and, like, we're going to be seeing a bunch of our legends pass away and shit like that because we're getting older, man. We're going to see people passing off and shit and, like, not getting their respect due. And that shit ain't cool. People deserve respect while they're here. They definitely deserve that respect, just like them dudes. And the funny thing about most of them dudes had short-ass careers. You know what I mean? It's like, you got to be serious, man. Like, look at yourself, dude. You're still out here. You're on tour. You just did the Tony Hawk tour and all that shit. Like, that shit matters. That matters. That fucking matters. Yeah. Like, don't ever let anyone tell you that shit don't matter. Dog, you're still here 30-something years later, still filming tricks. That's, man, them dudes walking around taking a picture of their skateboard at their feet. We ain't the same. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah,
you know what I mean? You look at their Instagram, it's like them dudes in a bar making a weird face and shit. Like, you look at our Instagram, we're skating and shit. It ain't the same, man. So it's like, they ain't going to respect it. It's like, dog, I get it. I respect you guys 1,000%. But y'all don't respect us. So we just need to nip this in the bud, say thank you, and keep this shit moving. Dudes like Stedham, man, it took forever for Stedham to get in the Hall of Fame. That was a slap in the face. Man, by the time he got in, I'd have been like, man, y'all keep that shit.
Yeah, I know, man, because that was when he got in this year, and basically when I saw him treading, that was 86. So it's like, wow, like there was a lot of dudes that they decided, you know, deserved it more, and then finally given that. And then there wasn't even a lot of fanfare, but I didn't even know. I was like, you did? Like, oh, you would think that there'd have been more of a fanfare and more of an announcement of it, of something in the skateboard community. You know, I hit him up. I'm like, yo, Steve, were you down here doing that? He's like, yeah. I saw the one picture. He was holding the thing. And I was like, okay. I was like, wow. I would have thought that would have been like, you know, calls for like a bigger celebration.
Hey,
whatever.
Hey, Powell put his board out, but Powell didn't say shit about him getting in the Hall of Fame. That's the shit I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, quit fucking with these people because I'm just being honest, man. You know what I mean? It's like, y'all, people got no problem using brothers for like cross promotion or to put their shit on or like put an old board out and shit. But when they're doing something, you know what I mean? It's like, I always post Stedham's boards on my shit. Like, I post them in my story and shit because if I can help it that way, I can. You know what I'm saying? I've even bought a board from him. I got it at my crib right now, man. So, you know, but how I feel about Stedham completely, to be honest, is a lot of people, a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people were like, how dare he leave Powell? You know what I'm saying? Like he knows his place. You know what I'm saying? Like, because me, it's like, if you had the number one, if you had the number one selling board on Powell, and you took off and did your own shit, you boards should still be selling. You know what I'm saying? So did y'all like Stedham? Did y'all like Stedham, or did y'all like the house that Stedham helped build? Like, that's the difference there, man. So it's like a lot of shit, like, and you see them online, man. I watch a lot of the older pros selling boards and stuff online, which I think is cool. Dude, Frankie Hill sells like a board or two a day, and I'm like, I think that's absolutely amazing because he's on there every day selling a board, which is fucking genius. But then I see Stedham putting up his board, and I'm like, damn, I thought y'all loved this graphic.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But watch Powell put one out, they'll probably sell out in a day. You know what I mean? So
No, man. His shit always sells out, man. You don't see Stedham boards sitting on the fucking shelf that are like,
hell no,
issues or nothing like that. You just don't. They don't sit around, they're gone. Gone.
You know? Yep.
Bought and sold.
It's WCRP.
But, I mean, so as not to make ourselves seem like we're trying to be separatist.
No, not whatsoever.
No. We've been immersed in this. We've seen the ebb and flow, the come and go. And, you know, there's been a lot of people that have, you know, flashes in the pans, dipped in, dipped out.
Yep.
And made a very good living off of it in that short time. Whereas here I am, I honestly sit back and I can count on one hand that I've had probably two sponsors that paid me a reasonable sponsorship amount. Everybody else, they're just, oh yeah, we'll just give you some product. We'll flow you this, we'll flow you that. And honestly, when I was a younger pro, when I was coming out, dude, I survived on selling off all the shit that I would get from my sponsors. I never got paid a fucking dime.
Man, you are talking right now, man. Shit.
And then I go to these events and other things, and these dudes got pockets full of $100 bills and all this shit, and I'm just sitting there like, fuck, I got $20 to my name. Like, how am I in the same, I'm in the same event as you, I'm in the same caliber as you, and I have $20.
Dog,
you have like fucking $2,000.
Know, man, when I was pro for Acme when I first turned pro, and it was bullshit. You know what I'm saying? People, Jim Graves, he could be a cool guy. I don't know who he was giving money to, but I ain't getting no money. As a matter of fact, one day, I went in to get some pants. I had to buy the pants.
Yeah, no, all that money went to fucking, who was on that team back then? Was
probably Omar. Maven? Probably yep. Omar, because from what I understand, this is a funny story. I guess in order to get Omar off GNS over to Acme, Jim Gray was like, all right, I give you my house. And then.
True story.
Yes.
True story, because he had two.
Yep.
Instead of paying him.
Yep.
And this is when Jim was swimming in some tracker money and some other money. He had all these side deals going on. So Jim was swimming in some cash.
Oh, absolutely.
That's true, because I used to hang out with Omar during those times. And
yep.
I remember he told me the story, and I was just like, wow, that's crazy.
Yep, gave him the house, dog, and then check it out, and I guess Omar ended up quitting.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, what would you expect? You know, like, what would you expect? He wasn't giving pro, he wasn't doing pro models and things like that, so the company wasn't set up for us to thrive. You know what I'm saying? It was a setup for the company to thrive, and then and then even with that said, he could have been breaking everybody off, but he wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't getting shit from him. And I don't think, you know, Mac, me just talking about it, man, if people get pissed, I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is my story. It's my story. Like, you don't got to listen to it. You don't got to nothing. Like, and I ain't trying to shit on that, man. Like, I'm just telling my story. I didn't make no fucking money over there, just like you're saying. You didn't make no money. I'm looking around.
No, man. If the truth hurts, get a Band-Aid on it.
Exactly. I'm looking around at everybody. Everybody's got a car. Everybody's got fucking apartments. I'm eating a bag of Cheetos, like $5 in my pocket and shit.
Sleeping on people's couches and shit, feeling like you're invading and shit.
Exactly. And then I'm feeling crazy. Then I feel crazy.
Shitty, man.
Then you feel crazy like going up in the thing because you feel like you might ask them too much. You know, which is fucking weird. That's weird.
Right.
You know what I'm
saying?
Isn't that
weird?
That's weird.
Yeah.
You're a pro for the company, and you're like, man, I hope I can, like, you know, like, I'm kind of broke, man. I wonder if I can ask for 10 shirts. And you're like, what the f***? What?
Yeah, man. Well, it's kind of nice to know that I was not the only one fucking dealing with that shit. Because I was like, that always made me hella uncomfortable. But when it was time for game on and time for the show to start, I sucked it up, man. And I went and did my best because I knew that there was a bigger picture.
Amen. Amen. Yes,
and,
sir.
And just, but man, fuck, it sucked, man.
That road was rough, man. Hey, so check this out. Speaking of, who was your first sponsor, man?
My first sponsor was Tracker Trucks. And
oh, wow. Ridgeway?
Yep. Ridge was there, but it was Chris Sarge Carter.
Oh, shit, he did used to be there. That's right. Damn.
Yeah, he came up to, it was a Linda Vista amateur NSA vert contest. You know, Frank Hawk was running it when he was still alive. Rest in peace, Frank. And I should have won because I was doing Christ Air fakies, fucking 540s, all this shit, you know, I was doing finger flips. I had fucking,
wow.
Yeah, I've learned that in 88. The only reason that trick came to be, is because I used to do high ass, slow flipping finger leaning tails. I could do them shits like face high, neck high, all day long. And so one day at the park, I'll never forget it. It was Dave Swift and Todd Swink. I did one over their heads and they laughed. And they're like, he flipped that so slow, he might as well have flipped it twice. And they giggled to each other and I was standing on the deck. And I was like, you know what? I am going to fucking flip it twice then. And that's when I made up the Sidewinder. Whoop, whoop.
Wow. See, shit like that too, man. You got your own trick, dude. That's fucking dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that is amazing to me. That's absolutely amazing to me. That's why I do this kind of shit, man. It's like to highlight and spotlight guys like yourself, man. I think that's remarkable, man. That's something you should, I mean, I'm sure you do. That's something you should really hold your head high over, man. It's like, that's skateboarding in its essence. Not a lot of people got tricks that are named, you know, that they did and made up and shit like that. Like,
I've only seen two people even attempt it. The one dude I seen on Instagram, he did it. He didn't really take it to tail. He kind of barely missed the tail, and they called it something else. They gave him credit for it. And then one other guy did it, but he didn't get it. They the board flipping all the way, but I gave him credit. So the trick to it is you spin the board between your fingers. You don't flip it. Because your wrist does not rotate 360 degrees.
Exactly.
So it gets to a point where you have to actually maneuver the board between your fingers and re-catch it.
Like a baton?
Exactly.
It's WCRP.
When Rest in Peace Mike Kanaski showed up at the park, and it was me, Jason Rogers, James Frazier, and a couple other heads. And we were, you know, we're taking our sweet time and thinking, like, you know, we were on some Danny Way status or some of the Johnson or some of the other guys. And we're like, oh, you know, we're going to be here filming all day. He said, sorry, guys. You guys got fucking 30 minutes. I got to go.
Yes.
Or shit like that. Now, we were like, 30 minutes. So all of a sudden, we're fucking rushing to put our shit on. And it was like, all right, jump in the fire. Dude, I made that fucking Stealthfish 5, like, 5 minutes before he had to leave.
Wow.
That's why the big celebration. We were just like, yeah, I didn't have time to warm up. Honestly, I can honestly say I was the second person in skateboarding to do a Stalefish 5. Because as soon as I saw Hawk do it in the fucking Powell video and ban this, I literally went to the park and said, I'm in love. I have to do this. That was the best shit I've ever seen. And to be honest with you, it was easier than grabbing Mute. It was fucking 10 times easier.
Really?
Dude, it was 10 times easier than grabbing Mute. I have the hardest time with Mute 540s. Backside Stale 5 all fucking day long. The board just stays compressed to your body when you reach back and just hold it there for a second. That's all you got to do. With a Mute 5, you got to hold it, tuck it, aim it. Like, backside Stale, you just got to kind of tap it for a second to keep it in place, and then it's fucking gravy.
Oh, wow. Man, I kind of learned inverts a couple years ago. I was kind of happy, but I haven't done it since. That shit's like, I grew up skating a little transition. I admire it, man. I really admire vert. It's beautiful to watch, and it's hard to skate. And just watching it, man, it's great. I love it, man. I've always loved vert. I mean, because obviously when I started skating, there wasn't nothing around to really get attracted to like that. You know, street skating didn't pop up like that until like 88. You know, like you know, they didn't even have it in magazines and shit because they didn't think it was cool. You know, so even even the street.
Well, it didn't make money. There was no outlet for it. There was the rock stars of the mid to late 80s. You know, and there was only what there was Santa Cruz, Powell, Madrid, GNS, Vision, and
what else? Man, I think that was it.
That was it.
That was it, pretty much. Hold on, I'm trying.
You had six companies Sims, to serve the world.
Well, Vision was Sims, so same thing.
Yeah, and Vision was also Schmidt Sticks, and that came a little bit later. But the main big players were those six companies, and they serviced the world.
Yes, that is absolutely true. You know, it's funny to think that now too, because I'm at a skate shop right now, and you know, like I love going to skate shops because. It makes me laugh. I'm like, who the fuck are all these people? Like,
yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
And that's it. Now that we're talking about skate shops, I will be deadly honest with you. I have never in my life seen one of my boards in a skate shop.
Really?
Never. In the 35 plus years I've been a skateboarder, I've never walked into a skate shop and seen a Darren fucking, well, I mean, of course not at the beginning, but since I've turned pro and I did that post not too long ago, kind of reminiscing of my models. I've had 13 pro models with 5 different companies. I've never, ever seen one of my boards in a fucking skate shop. Ever.
Wow.
In my life.
I got a question for you then. Hold on. I got an even better question for you then. Have you ever seen your board sales? Have you ever seen a printout of them?
No, I haven't.
Dude, exactly. That is the greatest fucking question in skateboarding. That is like the fucking elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. I don't know why. They will not show you that shit. Like, I don't know why. No one will tell you why. But it's fucking weird. Because I know back in them days, man, everybody had to be selling boards. You know what I mean? Because there wasn't that many people. And the guys,
those dudes were making $20,000 a month in their heyday, man.
I remember
being in the 8th Street Hoff office and them just all giddy and just, and I mean, it was talk of the office. They're like, oh my God, made another 20 grand this month. Like, 20 grand for what? They're like, off of board sales. And we were just like, we all looked at each other. Me, Jason, a couple of guys, we were like, what?
Wow.
How much?